The strangest natural phenomenon on record occurred in 1780. The sun was suddenly darkened at midday. To this day, no true explanation has been advanced for that mysterious darkness. I'll be back in a moment to talk about another amazing moment in history when stars fell like snowflakes. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. For some days, we've been studying about the end of the world and the coming of Jesus to this earth again. There's no question about it, Jesus is coming back the second time. 300 prophecies in the New Testament make that unmistakably plain and clear. Most people believe that. But the question that most folks can't answer is, when is Jesus coming back? That's the all-important question that we shall consider for a little while today. How soon will it be? Will the Lord Jesus return in our day? Listen very carefully now while I read a scripture passage from Matthew 24. I'm going to read quite a number of verses here because this chapter furnishes the whole setting for today's broadcast. Beginning with verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Then, friends, between verses 15 and 20, there's a little dissertation here on the destruction of Jerusalem. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as a lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." That's taken from Matthew 24, 3-36. Now, I'm sure most of you are familiar with this chapter. If you're not, you ought to be, because we're on the brink of eternity. This is the answer that Jesus gave to the disciples when they said, "Look, Master, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of thy coming?" Matthew 24 is Christ's own answer. Now, I want to back up and review this chapter briefly before we go on further today. In this chapter, Jesus placed signs along the way. Starting at his ascension, he placed signs here and here and here and all along the way, right up to the very last sign, which was a sign of the cloud on which the Son of Man sits when he comes in his glory. And he said to his disciples, in effect, now look, I'm placing these signboards along the road from my ascension to my second coming. Watch for those signs. When you've passed them all, then look, because I'll be coming back. Now, friends, what major signs were mentioned in this chapter? First of all, of course, the destruction of Jerusalem was mentioned as a major sign. And he said, in essence, that is coming. This is a signboard you'll pass. Well, history shows that we did pass that in A.D. 70. Jerusalem was destroyed. Signboard number two was the great tribulation mentioned in verses 21 and 22. He said, after you pass the destruction of Jerusalem, you will go along till you find a great big signboard, a great period of persecution. And once again, we go to history and discover that it is truth. There was a great period of persecution. The Bible says it would be the worst ever known, and if it were not shortened, there would no flesh be saved. But for the sake of God's people, his elect, it would be shortened. We go to history and discover that from 530 A.D. to 1798, there was such a period of persecution. Then we look toward signboard number three in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. All right, essentially then the Lord is saying, after you pass this big, long signboard of tribulation, the sun will be darkened. And once again we go to history and we discover it is a certain fact. The sun was darkened at midday, May 19, 1780. Look it up. Please don't take my word for this. May 19, 1789 is when this signboard was passed. Also, the moon turned to blood. The passage we read a moment ago said, the moon shall not give her light. You say, when did that happen? Was it a signboard already passed? Yes, it was. It was the night of May 19, 1780. The moon was first dark, and when it did appear, it was as red as blood. In a book called Repertory of Facts, edited by Robert Sears, on page 428, this was published in New York in 1845, here's a statement. On May 19, 1780, an uncommon darkness took place over New England and extended into Canada. It continued about 14 hours, or from 10 o'clock in the morning until midnight. The darkness was so great that the people were unable to read common print or tell the time of day by their watches, or to dine, or to transact their ordinary business without the light of candles. They became dull and gloomy, and some were excessively frightened. The fowls retired to their roost. Everything bore the appearance and gloom of night. The causes of these phenomena are not known. They certainly were not the result of eclipses. End of quotation. Well, I'll give just one more of the hundreds of historical statements made concerning this dark day on May 19, 1780. I'm quoting now, the dark day, May 19, 1780, so called on account of a remarkable darkness on that day, extended all over New England. In some places, people could not see to read common print in the open air for several hours together. Birds sang their evening songs, disappeared, and became silent. Fowls went to roost. Cattle sought the barnyard, and candles were lighted in the houses. The true cause of this remarkable phenomenon is not known. That's taken from Noah Webster's Dictionary, 1869 edition. Now, this distinguished authority said the cause of this dark day is not known, but Jesus said it meant the end of the world is drawing on. He said, and the moon shall not give her light, Matthew 24:29. Again, now we read from history, and I'm reading this out of the Independent Chronicle newspaper of Boston from June 8, 1780. It says, nor was the darkness of the night less common and terrifying than that of the day. Notwithstanding, there was almost a full moon. No object was discernible but by the help of some artificial light. And again I quote, this time from Collections of Massachusetts Historical Society, Volume 1, the darkness of the following evening was probably as gross as has ever been observed since the Almighty Fiat gave birth to light. All right, that's a signboard, and then we come to signboard number five, and he said the stars will fall from heaven. They were to go by that signboard. Did that take place, friends? Yes, it did. And once again, we have an historical fact. It was November 13, 1833. Look it up. It's right there. That signboard was passed. I'll quote now from the American Journal of Science and Arts, page 363. The morning of November 13, 1833 was rendered memorable by an exhibition of the phenomenon called shooting stars, which was probably more extensive and magnificent than any similar one hitherto recorded. Probably no celestial phenomenon has ever occurred in this country since its settlement, which was viewed with so much admiration and delight by one class of spectators, and so much astonishment and fear by another class. Now, I suppose you can imagine why some were terrified and some were sort of delighted over it. Some knew that it was a sign of the coming of Jesus and they were happy about it, and others were not very happy at the prospect. All right, here's a statement now from the Boston Observer. Olmsted compared the falling stars at the moment of maximum to half the number of flakes which we perceive in the air during an ordinary shower of snow. Imagine that, friend. Just think about the stars filling the heavens like that and shooting in every direction, just as though a fig tree was shaken and the unripe fruit went flying off in every direction. Again, I'm quoting from The History of Astronomy in the 19th Century. By Agnes Clark. This is page 328. On the night of November 12 to 13, 1833, a tempest of falling stars broke over the earth. North America bore the brunt of its pelting, from the Gulf of Mexico to Halifax, until daybreak, with some difficulty, put an end to the display. The sky was scored in every direction with shining tracks and illuminated with majestic fireballs. All right, then we come to the sixth sign in verse 30. This is what it is, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now, this is the point I want to emphasize before we go any further. From the dark day to the night, the moon turned to blood until the next signboard, the falling of the stars, with only 53 years. But it's already been nearly 160 years almost since the falling of the stars, and the next sign has not yet appeared, the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. May I tell you with all assurance and positiveness, friends, Jesus is already overdue. We're here living on borrowed time in this world. Oh, listen, I want to urge you to write for further information on this great topic of Almost Midnight. The Amazing Facts Information Folder C, entitled Is Headed Straight Towards You, will provide you with graphic evidence that the signs are pointing to this very hour as the time of the end. Now, I know, some people try to justify all these things and explain all these things away. But I'm telling you that in Matthew 24, where our Lord explained the sequence of events, everything fell into perfect order, historically, sequentially, one thing after another, until we get down to these tremendous celestial signs in the sky and the heavens. And they all came exactly on schedule. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.